paper number 7.
Sorry, Wayne, I have to leave.
No problem. I'm glad that you got your input in on the one that was seems to have been important to you. So.
Okay.
Will we hear from you tomorrow?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye to all. Luca.
Have left the conference.
Okay. Do I need to press anything?
You're on.
I am. Okay. Perfect. So good afternoon. Last but not least, it's agenda paper 7, and agenda paper 7 deals with the meaning of incremental costs in the context of IAS 17. More specifically, the submitter asks whether fixed salary costs that of permanent staff that spend substantially all of their time in negotiating and arranging leases and or loans, whether those costs qualify as incremental costs. As you know, IAS 17 does not define incremental, so we had to have a look at other standards such as the Revenue Recognition ED or the FI standard. And in our analysis, we made the analogy to IAS 39, and we conclude that incremental costs in the context of IAS 17 means costs that would not have been incurred if the entity had not negotiated and arranged a lease. So that means that costs need to be caused by an event, and they need to change in proportion to that event, and here it's negotiating and arranging a lease. We therefore conclude that internal fixed costs should not be part of the lease receivable, should not be included, and this is because the fixed costs are unavoidable, meaning they do not change in proportion to negotiating and arranging a lease. And also our outreach has shown that the predominant practice is actually to expense fixed costs. So we would conclude there is, we understand there is no diversity in practice in this issue, and we would also say that the guidance is clear. So we would recommend not to add it to the agenda. I would also like to point out that the ISB is currently undertaking a project on leases, and so IAS 17 eventually will be replaced by the new standard. And so with that, I open the floor to you.
Okay, we start with Laurence and Sandy.
I'm fine with the agenda reduction, but by serious issues, where we're getting at with this agenda reduction, how is it going to be consistent with where we're getting at under the revenue standard for contract costs?
Well, I think we have a pretty similar approach. The revenue recognition ED refers to incremental costs of obtaining a contract. But I think we are very similar in terms of that costs have to be caused by an event. So I would think the notion of incremental is similar. The revenue recognition then does not address whether they have to be incremental on a group level or on a group of leases or an individual.
Sandy?
I guess I would have thought, say, incremental costs, my legacy insurance background, incremental costs that were directly related to successful efforts would be deferrable. I saw your reference to IS 39, but I couldn't recall and didn't have an opportunity to go look at the new insurance contract standard, the new revenue recognition standard, and the new leasing standard to see, in fact, I just don't remember.
Yeah, what I just quoted was the ED, so the revenue ED. In terms of insurance, they do not have the notion of incremental. What they do is in the measurement they would include everything, any expected cash flows, and if they are not they do not need to be attributable to an individual insurance contract.
Right.
So they could be allocated on to an individual lease, but as I said, they do not have the notion of incremental. In terms of the leases standard, I think the board wasn't very clear on whether or not those costs would be included or not. So that would definitely something where we as a leases project would have to come back to during redeliberations, because I think it wasn't really clear what the board meant in this area.
I guess I would have thought that some element of them, based on the successful efforts of them, would be, I mean, while I understand, I mean, variable versus fixed, your reference to IS 39 is just the variable cost. Right?
Yeah.
But you have direct and indirect, variable and fixed, and incremental, right? And they all, there's some overlap of incremental in each of those, right? But I think just because they're fixed doesn't mean they're fixed forever. So to me, you could let these people go, and so in that way, they are incremental.
Yeah, and I think what we're referring to is also have those costs, those fixed costs, being caused by negotiating and arranging a lease. And in that case, even though the employer might make those employees redundant very quickly, you can do that, but they have not been caused by negotiating and arranging.
The inverse of the situation, right? And I still had to hire them to do that work, just like I'd have to let them go.
I think the difference, and this is, there are two distinctions. The insurance standard, number one, is a portfolio standard. So you're going to have different.
That's all future stuff, right?
But I think the notion, as I read the staff paper here, was that it doesn't matter that you could fire them or that you'd have to hire them back. What matters is having one more lease doesn't change anything. And so, you know, if you got five people out there.
Well, if you had zero and then you had to do one, you had to hire somebody to do it, and they could do one or they could do five.
Well, and presumably they would be incremental because you'd fire them the next day. So I return to the point, it's not incremental if doing one more lease doesn't change anything.
I guess maybe I'm just biased by what the recent deliberations in the U.S. on the existing insurance contract, and they said some element of those people, and I know it's a different place, is their direct costs. Some portion of their successful work is attributable to... is deferrable.
And without going much further on that, I think the U.S. has taken, board members, please clarify for me, much more of a successful efforts view of the insurance project than this board has. So I think that may be a distinction.
The new one or the old one?
Or did we go revert?
I think on the insurance contract ED, It doesn't, as Anna correctly said, doesn't include the word incremental. They just have to be directly attributable.
Right.
And so it is a successful efforts kind of notion, but at the portfolio level.
Okay. I don't know that we're helping matters any. So. Okay. Just keep going around. John?
A few comments. I mean, first of all, the committee did actually consider the issue of incremental in September 2008 in looking at IAS 32 and transaction cost charge against equity. And that agenda decision actually notes that the term incremental is used in different standards with different meanings and recommended that common definitions be developed. Now, those common definitions have not been developed, so I think I'm not convinced it's appropriate to read IAS 39's meaning of incremental across to IAS 17. I mean, to me, the issue of incremental is completely linked up with the unit of account question. So you could argue in the unit of account question, IAS 32 is the financial instrument, and then IAS 17 refers to a lease, so you could read across and say that therefore it should be incremental relative to a lease. But I don't necessarily think IAS 39 is automatically the same notion of incremental as IAS 17. The second point is that the staff paper in March 2011, the staff paper on the leases project, the joint meeting of the IASB and the FASB, actually dealt with the definition of the initial direct cost in the new leases exposure draft, and actually concluded that the definitions were no different from current US GAAP, no different from current IAS 17, and wouldn't give rise to a change in practice. Now, that is actually impossible if we follow this agenda rejection, because US GAAP actually permits such employee costs to be capitalized on leases on a successful effort basis. Therefore, I don't understand how the March 2011 staff paper could make a comment that the new leasing proposals, which are bringing together the two gaps, would not make a difference for either gap. The other issue, I think, is, in my experience, I think that there's not, I was surprised that there's no diversity in practice, or very limited diversity in practice, but the outreach is what it is. Because in my experience, I'm aware across a number of different major jurisdictions, entities that are capitalizing sort of leasing department costs on some form of basis. I'm sort of troubled by the view that, if you insource this activity, you don't capitalize these into leases, but if you outsource it, you actually do capitalize it. It seems to me that for the same effective economic activity, you're actually getting an arbitrage between insourcing and outsourcing your leasing activities. So I'm not in favor of the rejection, because I actually think there's alternative interpretations of IAS 17. But I also think it leads to potentially an anomaly between in-source and outsource leasing activities.
Which was, by the way, the issue in insurance.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Gary, board member privilege?
No. I agree with the recommendation to not take any action. But just share, in a prior life, I actually had the task to actually build a capability to do this exact thing under FASB 91. And I would just tell you, I think, to do anything other than incremental costs as being eligible for capitalization, I think, is, and that's perhaps not a fool's errand, but extremely difficult to do, because, granted, every cost given enough time is variable, but in the short term, most are fixed. And you'd be into a series of allocations and of time to try to carve out what portion of people's time is related to successful efforts. There's no question in my mind the U.S. is a successful effort, oriented standard. For this, I do think in practice, I acknowledge John's point, if you outsource it, it might be eligible capitalization. If you insource it, it might not be. I think in a lot of situations, there's probably a combination of fixed and variable insource, where someone's got a base salary, any kind of bonus or commission if you originate new business. And the project that I did, basically the internal commissions were viewed as variable.
Yeah.
And they would get capitalized, the base salaries, would not. And you sort of raise yourself the question of how far down do you go in variability. So if you deliver the asset under lease, you might, through your internal vehicles, you might say that's not eligible for capitalization. If you hire a trucking company to do it, you might say it is. But again, ultimately, there's a lot of infrastructure support to do these, whether it's the incremental computer time, whether it's, the allocation of the heat of the building or the leasing department is, and so on. So I think other than viewing as direct incremental costs, there's just really no any other practical way, I think, in most circumstances.
You just dated yourself and me by referring to all of the stuff around FAS 91.
I'm never
going to be
qualification 84.
No, I'm not talking about the reference. I'm talking about remembering all the brain damage that everybody went through.
I was going to do that also. Did you write that
one? No. Peter Roscoe wrote it, so I remember the author. Tony?
I support the staff recommendation. I think my sense is that it is consistent with what I've seen in practice, although I understand from John that there might be something that's different. And it just seems to me that it's an incremental cost associated with writing one lease because I'd look at the lease being unit of account. We don't typically assess the minimum lease payments against the fair value of the asset or the lease term against the life of the asset on a portfolio basis. So I'd struggle to look at incremental costs on a portfolio basis either. But even then, I think the costs of the staff are fixed. I understand that over time you can move the number of staff up and down, but I don't think signing one extra lease changes your staff costs. So I think this reflects the way I would see incremental costs. And I think I would agree with Gary that if you outsource it and you have a fixed outsourcing contract, whether you write a million leases or one lease, I wouldn't see that as incremental either. A specific commission, internally or externally, on writing a lease, I would. But the fact that I've outsourced it wouldn't necessarily give me a different answer.
Andrew?
I agree with the staff recommendation and I'm happy with the wording of the tentative decision. I hope we don't need to define incremental. You've got to need some words for the dictionary to define. And I think in the context of IAS 17, the issue is unit of account, as I would see it. I think IAS 17 is clear. It's incremental costs of negotiating a lease. So I agree with the recommendation.
Let's see. Scott, Vincent, I've got a light on for you. Did you want to come back in on this one? No. That's an intelligent decision on this part. Scott and Alan, then we'll wrap it up.
I agree with the staff's view in the paper, and just with regards to the comparisons with U.S. GAAP, John is correct that we do capitalize a portion of salaries in U.S. GAAP, but that's because I think it's because the words are different. The aforementioned FAS 91 paragraph 6, which no, I have not memorized, I just put it up on the screen, says that for internal costs related to loan origination and lease origination, we are going to capitalize certain direct costs related to specified activities performed by employees and incremental costs performed by third parties. So the guidance for internal is direct, not incremental. And that's why we do a portion of the salary. And actually, it's very confusing because for direct employees, if you give them a bonus specifically tied to originating the lease, you don't get to capitalize the bonus. Rather, all those bonuses go all in to the internal person's compensation. You figure out what percentage of their time was spent on successful lease originations, multiply that by the total compensations, which includes the bonuses that were specifically paid for specific lease originations, and you capitalize that portion. So there are incremental costs, but you don't capitalize those. You just capitalize the direct. So it is different words. Doesn't surprise me that we would get different answers.
I think, Scott, when you go back to the time, I was doing this, the big seven or whatever it was then, I think the ones I had looked at, they sort of gravitated on the direct cost, they meant incremental. You know, not then as very clear. When you go to you can't capitalize an in-house M&A department. You don't capitalize that as an acquisition cost in the days when and so on. So
eventually, the FASB put out a Q&A that said, "Don't do it that way."
That's right.
Yeah.
I was really trying to wrap this up. Don, and then Martin, and then Alan.
Yes, Scott, I'm not surprised there's a difference. I'm just surprised that the staff paper said that the new leasing standard, there would be no change for either GAAP.
Agreed. Martin?
Good news. I agree with the idea of the staff. In Germany, we haven't seen any diversity in practice. However, I believe, a company would be free of choice. I mean, one could arrange low fixed salary contracts with a high provision, a variable bonus component for each individual signed contract, so therefore also flexibility in practice is given.
If
employees agree.
Right. Alan?
I was just going to say, Andrew, you talked about unit of account, I think it was you, but the question was about incremental costs, and I wondered, I've heard everybody just about say they kind of agree with rejecting, and I wondered, John, whether we should say the interpretation committee has previously considered incremental costs and put the date reference and repeat the conclusion that it means different things, different standards, and accordingly it decided not to take it on. And I don't know whether that would be more acceptable. It's a different conclusion, or is that...
Well, but I think everybody says that this is what it means in 17.
Okay.
So it might mean something else someplace else, but yeah, in 17 this is what it means.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
I'll accept that.
All right. Good. Okay. So that's where we'll go. Now, it is 5:23, according to that. We have two choices. We can stop 25 minutes early, 35 minutes early. We can do the closed admin session. My estimate tomorrow is that we got lots of time, so it's not like we're going to miss anything. It might mean that we'll get through at 11 rather than 11:30, so I am at your disposal. Which would you rather do? All right. Well, if I can then ask our visitors to leave, our closed session is administrative, as the name implies. It does not deal with technical issues. And we will reconvene the public session at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.